When she was born, Mary Jane Pontaine's doctors said she would never walk, talk, or even think. But they were wrong. She overcame the difficulties of cerebral palsy to walk in high heels and graduate from college. Don't miss this inspiring true story of a family's faith and a young girl's courage. Coming soon on Unshackled. How do you do? A wise person once said, no matter what your lot in life, build something on it. And few have built more diligently than the woman in this story, given her lot in life. Imprisoned by circumstances in a disobedient body, her will nonetheless reached well beyond her grasp. And she succeeded because her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Mr. Duggan, you have a tiny baby daughter, but I don't expect her to live.
What's wrong, Doctor?
She's in danger of strangling, probably due to an enlarged thymus.
Isn't there anything you can do?
We're doing all we can. She weighs only 4 pounds and 4 ounces.
Can I see her and my wife now?
Yes, but I think you should name her right away. I don't think we can save your baby, so you'll need a name to put on the death certificate.
From the crossroads of America, this is Unshackled. True life stories of real people dramatized and produced before a live audience in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Numbers don't tell the whole story, but numbers alone are impressive. Each month, more than 60,000 plates of food served each night, more than 500 homeless people sheltered, and all without any public assistance, thanks to financial gifts from people who share what they have, that others may have hope for the future. For more than 125 years, Pacific Garden Mission has been a haven in downtown Chicago, shining the light of the world into the darkness. Every physical need is met at the mission, including medical and dental care, all free to those in need. But more important is the preaching and teaching of the Word of God that leads to new life. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2709 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Have you seen her, Leo?
Yes, Sue. She's so little, so helpless.
What shall we name her?
Whatever you like.
What about Mary Jane?
That's fine.
Oh, Leo, she can't die.
God can save her, Sue. We have to trust God with her, and whatever decision he makes will be the best one.
I know.
I'll be right back, hon. I need to let them know her name. Oh, God, if you let my baby girl live, I will serve you more faithfully for the rest of my life.
10 days later, that tiny baby was still alive, so the doctors let her go home with her parents, who trusted in the purposes of God. Nearly 50 years ago, we told her story in one of our early episodes. This is the first of a two-part follow-up, the extraordinary true story of Mary Jane Pontaine from the classic files of Unshackled.
I'm the Mary Jane you never hear, my alter ego, who speaks well, at least in my mind, not the real voice trapped in a recalcitrant body. If my real voice were to tell this story, you might not understand. I was born in Chicago in the summer of 1930, and from the beginning my parents needed great patience. Mother fed me with a medicine dropper every 4 hours. I was too weak even to cry, they said. I clung to life and grew as the months went by, but they could tell I wasn't like my older sister. I still wasn't walking or talking at 3 years old, and the doctor gave Mother no encouragement.
He thinks we should put her in an institution and forget about her.
What?
He told me she would never be normal. He said she would never walk or talk. He thinks she's probably mentally handicapped.
Oh, I don't believe that.
I don't either, Leo. I'm going to look for another doctor. Surely somebody can help us.
Let's pray right now, Sue. God kept her alive, and he'll help her grow into a normal child.
My father kept his promise to serve God more faithfully, and through the years served in many positions. His faith had a lot to do with my progress. Mother tried several doctors before our family doctor directed her to one who offered hope.
Mrs. Duggan, your daughter has what we call spastic paralysis. Muscles become weak and stiff or unresponsive. She has normal intelligence, though she hasn't been able to express herself because of the physical problems. But we can help her break through those limitations.
I knew there had to be a way.
It won't be easy. You'll have to make a tremendous and continuing effort for this to be successful.
I'm willing to do whatever it takes, Dr. Black.
I'm talking about years. A physical therapist will teach you exactly what to do. But you must work with Mary Jane consistently.
These days, my condition is called cerebral palsy, but that was the mid-30s. Each week, the therapist taught my mother what to do. Then mother worked with me 3 times a day on the kitchen table. 6 months went by with no sign of progress.
She moved, Leo, she moved her foot.
You're right. Praise God, Sue. There's no stopping her now, right, honey?
Look at her. She understands. She's smiling.
Before long, you'll be skipping rope, won't you, Mary Jane?
One step at a time, dear.
Mary Jane, you can do it. You're going to be just like all the other kids on the block. You'll run and play and go to school just like your sister. Nothing is impossible with God.
No one was allowed to help me as I learned to move, then crawl, then walk. If I fell, I had to get myself up. Speech therapy was just as grueling. First, I learned to blow out the candle, then blow without letting the flame go out. This taught me breath control, so important to speech. I still walked with a hitch, but my speech was understandable when I started school at the age of 5. I wanted to do everything the other kids were doing.
Don't hold her back, Mrs. Duggan. If she wants to try something, let her.
She wants to do everything her friends do, but a bicycle?
It's good exercise. If you work with her, she'll probably get the hang of it.
Well, she seems to be doing well at school, even though one of the teachers thinks she doesn't belong there. Well,
she's very intelligent. If you keep working on speech therapy, she'll be able to express her intelligence better.
My husband always says that she's not handicapped. She's a normal child who happens to have a physical disability.
Because of my parents' efforts and the encouragement of family members and friends, I never thought of myself as different or handicapped. I was 8 years old and still on a tricycle while my friends were riding bicycles, so that Christmas when I asked for and received my little two-wheeler, I was so thrilled. I walked it over to my best friend's house half a block away. That was before training wheels were invented. In the spring, Daddy began teaching me to ride.
Leo, must you take her out again? I worry so.
She will learn to ride, Sue. It's important that she do what other children do.
But she already has a bump on each side of her head.
You should be proud of her determination.
I am, but she could get seriously hurt.
I'll be with her, so don't worry.
I'll stay here and bake some bread.
Come on, Mary Jane, let's go across the street and practice balancing. Hey, look both ways now. Today's a great day to ride a bicycle, right?
Yes, Daddy!
Ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'll hold you and you pedal. That's it. Doing fine. Keep it up, keep it up. Daddy's right here. You just keep pedaling now.
All of a sudden, I was riding a whole block before I realized Daddy had let go and I was alone. What a feeling. One by one, I learned to jump rope, roller skate, ice skate, and swim, thanks to my parents' dedication and patience. I didn't realize Mother was venting her anxiety by baking bread while I was taking risks. I always considered the bread a reward for my efforts. I also thought I was normal and would continue going to school with my neighborhood friends. But in the fourth grade, I met my nemesis in a teacher who was intolerant of my weakness. My friend Elsie and I cried all the way home.
What's the matter, girl?
The teacher, she made me feel so stupid.
She made you feel stupid? Like how?
She didn't give me my picture. I was the only one.
No, oh, wait a minute, honey. Let Elsie, let her explain. You're crying too hard for me to understand.
She was really mean, Mrs. Duggan. She threw Mary Jane's art project in the waste basket and told the whole class that it was just crippled.
That was very mean.
Oh, she didn't have to say that in front of the whole class. It's not fair.
Oh, Mary Jane, I'm so sorry, honey. Don't cry. I'm going to call the school and take care of it right now.
That's the same teacher that had Mary Jane held back in kindergarten, isn't it?
Yeah, she had no consideration for her condition. She doesn't think Mary Jane belongs in her school.
Her school?
That's what she said. And I don't want Mary Jane there either, after the way she was treated.
What did Dr. Black say?
He wants us to put her in a special school for disabled children. He's already made the arrangements.
She won't understand why she's there, Sue. We've never treated her differently.
I know, but Dr. Black thinks she'll be better off in the special school. The public school teachers aren't trained to deal with kids like Mary Jane.
Oh, but she's very intelligent.
She'll excel in the new school, Leo. We have to give it a chance.
Well, she won't be very happy about this.
Up to that point, I knew I had been born with spastic paralysis, but I never thought of myself as handicapped. What a shock to walk into that fourth grade room and see all those handicapped children, some in wheelchairs. As I looked around the room, my one thought was, I don't belong here. I am not handicapped.
How do you like the new school, Mary Jane?
I don't belong there,
honey,
Mom.
What's wrong?
Well, they're so pathetic.
They're all so pathetic?
Yes, I'm not like that.
Mary Jane, Dr. Black thinks you should be in that school.
But I'm not like them.
Honey, I know that. You've worked very hard to do everything your friends do. You are not handicapped, but you were born with a physical problem. And the teachers at the new school will be more considerate of your problems.
Why me? Why was I born this way?
Honey, nobody knows that but God. And he has a wonderful plan for your life, even so. Remember Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
I don't belong there. I'll show them. I'm not like that.
I was sure they'd all see their mistake and put me back in public school with my friends. But I stayed in that special school. 2 years later, when I was 12, I made several decisions that would affect the rest of my life.
We'll hear about those decisions and their consequences in just a moment. Unshackled is broadcast in 6 languages, including Romanian and Russian. Here are excerpts from some of the many letters our friends in Moldova have sent the radio stations there. First of all, I want to tell you why I am writing this letter. I really like to listen to Unshackled. I thank God that when I was still a sinner, he found me through this program and made me his son. And that is why, for me, this is the most important radio program. I'm ashamed to think of my life before Christ, but I thank God for the opportunity to serve him while I am still young. I will never regret the steps I took to come to him. May God bless you for airing this program. Ina Cahol writes, thank you for your program Unshackled, especially the one that aired on Christmas night. Because of this program, a friend of my mother accepted Christ, and for this, my whole family thanks you. A woman named Maja writes, greeting from my entire family. Just now, as I am writing this letter, my family is listening to Unshackled. Through this program, God worked in my husband's heart, and he came to know Christ. To learn more about this ministry to Eastern Europe, just write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
Because my physical disability included a slight but persistent shaking of the head, some people thought I was mentally handicapped. Even as a child, I stayed away from those who were mentally handicapped because I was afraid of being included among them. My best friends in the neighborhood had no disabilities, and I played with them, so I progressed very well. My ever-patient parents never chastised me. They just prayed for and encouraged me to do my best. I was voted the best adjusted student in my school when I graduated from eighth grade. We always went to church, and I stayed busy with youth activities. During those years, I made a lifelong decision that I shared with Elsie, my best friend.
You want to be a missionary?
Yes, to China. God called me.
How do you know, Mary Jane?
God spoke to my heart.
Do you think God speaks to everyone's heart?
I don't know about everyone.
What would you do as a missionary?
Tell people how Jesus died on the cross for their sins. How he gives you eternal life when you trust in him.
Mary Jane, I think you'll make a good missionary.
Many years later, I learned that my friend Elsie received Christ as her Savior because of that conversation. Church activities became ever more important in my teenage years. I never let my disability interfere. One night, a blizzard canceled our youth musical, and the director offered a prize to the one who phoned the most people, telling them about the change. I made 53 calls that day and won that prize, 2 weeks at a summer Bible camp. There, I met an evangelist who encouraged me in my goal of becoming a missionary. I couldn't wait to tell my parents.
I've never seen you so excited, Mary Jane.
The evangelist at the camp said that I should apply to Northwestern Bible College, and he'll see that I get in.
Oh, and he's the president.
Praise God.
We are very proud of you, Mary Jane. This is encouraging news.
With God, all things are possible.
By then, I was walking so well, I wore 4-inch heels to my graduation from high school. But as I went off to college, I still had to hold a cup with both hands, and my speech was still far from perfect.
Hello?
Mom, I saw a doctor today.
Can you resume therapy?
No, it's too late.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, dear.
But I'm getting speech therapy.
Oh, that's good, Mary Jane. If you work at it, you'll get better.
And I can almost hold a glass with one hand now.
It feels good to reach your goals, doesn't it?
Yes.
How are your classes going?
All but one is fine.
Oh, what's happening with that one?
Well, every time I raise my hand, the teacher ignores me.
Did you talk with her about it?
No. Some of my classmates complained to the vice president for me. Now she leaves me alone.
Well, I guess you'll always have to deal with some form of discrimination, Mary Jane. Except in heaven, God is no respecter of persons.
God had always been a big part of my life, but being in Bible college where I was immersed in Scripture and listening to the faith of others with a personal relationship with the Lord, I began questioning my own faith. There was no one point in my life when I had confessed my sinfulness and prayed to God for salvation. During a special week of meetings at the college, we had speakers every day and every night, and my turmoil grew, so I talked with one of them during a break. Mr. Johnson, your message was so challenging. You talk about the Lord just like the men in the Bible, as if he is right with you.
Well, young lady, I'm glad that you were challenged by my message. The Lord is with every believer. His Holy Spirit leads us and makes us feel God's presence.
I see. Well,
Are you having problems with your relationship with the Lord?
I'm not sure that I have a relationship with him. I hear all of the students talking about it, but I don't really understand. I was raised up going to church, and I've always volunteered to work there. I've even been baptized 3 times just to make sure that I've done it right.
What's your name, young lady?
It's Mary Jane.
Well, Mary Jane, being raised in church and getting baptized won't give you a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You must be born again by the Spirit of God. Then you know for sure He's always with you.
I don't know if that's ever happened to me.
If you don't know, you'd better make sure.
As the preaching continued, my convictions grew, and I just had to make sure that I was saved. So I prayed.
Okay, Lord, if I don't belong to you and you want me to, please do something special. Have a speaker. Give an invitation.
I feel led to do something we don't normally do in chapel. This is a Christian college, and you wouldn't be here if you weren't already Christians. But if there's someone here who doesn't really know Christ as his or her personal Savior, please raise your hand. Oh, would that young lady with the raised hand please stop by my office after chapel?
Mary Jane, it isn't unusual for someone to grow up in a Christian home and assume they're a Christian. But God doesn't have any grandchildren. Each person must confess their sin to God and receive Jesus Christ personally as their Savior in order to become a child of God. You know all the fundamentals of the faith, right?
Yes.
Well, we'll go over them anyway so you can know that you belong to God. Number one, God says we're all sinners.
Romans chapter 3, verse 23.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what is the penalty for sin?
Death.
Correct. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So tell me, Mary Jane, what have you done to deserve salvation?
Nothing. It's a gift from God.
Right again. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 are clear. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast."
I believe all that.
Then why don't you kneel right now and settle everything with God?
I prayed that day and received new life in Christ. Immediately I felt His presence within me, and I have never had a doubt about my salvation. My college years were delightful. Every year, there was a missions conference with booths all over the gym. I hung around the one for inland China.
Still thinking of China, Mary Jane?
Yes, God called me there.
You know, China is now closed to Western missionaries.
Maybe that will change.
It's a very difficult field. My brother and his wife were martyred there several years ago.
I know.
The work goes on, but it's underground now. And the church is still growing there.
The gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Yes, but life would be very difficult for you in China, Mary Jane.
My whole life has been difficult.
There's the medical problem and the language difficulty. I'm afraid no reputable mission board would send you there.
Well, surely I could be useful.
Yes, but the difficulties and concern for your welfare would outweigh the advantages.
By my senior year, I knew he was right, and I made plans to join the workforce after graduation. But looking for a job was not easy. I found that most employers took one look at me and decided that I couldn't perform the tasks, while others considered hiring me because they felt sorry for me. I was devastated. Finally, I was hired by a firm that knew my abilities because my mom had worked there. I struggled with self-pity. It took over my heart. I decided my shaking head and difficult speech would make people think I was crazy. I didn't want them to think that all Christians were crazy, so I should withdraw from God's work. I prayed.
Lord, I'm doing the work of your kingdom more harm than good because of the way I am.
About that time, my mother gave me a book by Eugenia Price, who was writing Unshackled dramas, and I finished the book in one sitting. Hungry for fellowship, I called, and they invited me to a weekly meeting.
Oh, glad you're here. Would you like to meet the others?
Oh, I don't know. I better explain you. The reason that my head shakes is that...
Mary Jane, I already know. I'm a doctor.
Oh, well, then you probably know. I'm not crazy, even if my head does shake.
Crazy? Who thinks that?
Well, people could.
I explained my idea of keeping my Christianity a secret, which seemed noble to me, but she saw right through my self-deception.
You won't like this, Mary Jane, but I think you're feeling sorry for yourself. You've given Christ everything you are, but you're not willing to give him what you are not. When we surrender to him, we have to make it complete. Give him our strengths and infirmities, both, and trust his promise that all things work together for good for them that love God. Does that make any sense, Mary Jane?
I'm afraid it does.
Self-pity has never gotten hold of me since. My life was filled to the brim with a full-time job in a department store and additional responsibilities with a worldwide Christian organization for which I flew to other cities. I was nearly 30 years old when God brought someone into my life who would change everything, ultimately leading me into the work I'd always longed for, but exposing another self-delusion.
We'll hear the conclusion of Mary Jane's extraordinary testimony next week. Meanwhile, listening friend, if you are like Mary Jane with unrealized dreams, we have good news. Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly. The one who created the universe and you knows your every need and hope. Whatever is holding you back, he will set you free. Invite him into your heart and life today. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. This is program number 2709. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter is important to us. The address, simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. When no one seems to care, we do. Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with a counselor, 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-922-1462. From the age of 12, Mary Jane Pontaine wanted to be a missionary to China, but cerebral palsy stood in the way. Don't miss the unusual true story of how her dreams were fulfilled, not in spite of her disability, but because of it. Listen to exciting true stories like this every time you hear Unshackled. How do you do? When she was born, doctors said the woman in this story would never walk, and yet she went to her high school graduation wearing 4-inch heels. And they said she would never talk. Yet today she is a public speaker whose words encourage others. Many people born with her disabilities would have given up, but she didn't, because her heart and mind and life were unshackled. From Chicago, we bring you Unshackled, dramatizing true life stories before a live audience, produced by Pacific Garden Mission. What does it take to transform a life from despair to hope, from aimlessness to purpose? Well, folks at Pacific Garden Mission know the secret. Many of them have been there. So they welcome every guest with joy, eager to share the good news. For more than 125 years, the mission has been a haven in downtown Chicago. The doors have never closed, thanks to the financial gifts of friends who give that others may find new life. Daily, more than 700 men, women, and children receive nourishing food, clean clothing, medical and dental care, and a safe place to sleep, and all free while they learn about a new life. Pastors and counselors introduce them to the one who makes all things new. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2710 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Mr. Duggan, you have a tiny baby daughter, but I don't expect her to live. I don't think we can save your baby, so you'll need a name to put on the death certificate.
Come on, Mary Jane. You can do it. Honey, try just a little bit harder. That's it. Oops. No, don't help her get up. She can do it. That's a big girl. I knew you could.
Mother, I've been accepted at Northwestern Bible School. I'm going to be a missionary to China.
Last week we heard how the woman in our story was born with cerebral palsy, but because of her parents' faith and encouragement and her own hard work, she learned to walk normally, speak understandably, and then go on to college. In this conclusion of her testimony, Mary Jane Pontaine will describe the extraordinary way her life unfolded. This is her true story from the classic files of Unshackled.
This is how I sound to myself when I'm thinking, not the strained voice you hear when I speak. I worked hard to improve my speech over the years, hoping to be a missionary to China, but a wise college professor dissuaded me from the idea because of my disability. So after I graduated, I worked for a large department store in Chicago. When my father died, I was 29, still living at home and content with working full-time and serving a worldwide Christian organization part-time.
How was your dinner last night?
It was a setup.
A setup?
They're trying to get me interested in a guy who lives in Spokane.
That's a bit far for dating, isn't it?
would they ask if I would be willing to write him?
Oh, there's no harm in that.
Well, he has cerebral palsy, too. But he's a Sunday school superintendent, and he has a printing company.
Good for him. What's his name?
Bud Pontaine.
Give him a chance, Mary Jane.
Well, people are always trying to fix me up with some guy in a wheelchair. I don't need that.
This man could be a good friend, Mary Jane.
Maybe. At least he works.
A few months later, Bud wrote me a letter, and I discovered that he was as active and useful in society as I was. At first, I deliberately didn't answer his letter. I didn't want to seem interested. But our letters gradually became more frequent and personal. More than a year went by before Bud wrote my mother. Curiosity overwhelmed me as she read.
Are you reading over my shoulder?
What does he say?
This is my letter, and it's private.
What are you doing?
I'm getting under the table so you can't read my letter.
Mother!
Patience, dear. Oh, my goodness.
What does he say?
He's asking my permission to ask you to marry him.
Really? Oh, he hasn't mentioned marriage to me.
Well, he wants my permission first. What a good thing to do. I'm impressed, Mary Jane.
In Bud's previous letter to me, he'd asked me to pray about what the Lord has in the future for us, and he signed it, Love, Bud. So I was elated to learn of his desire to marry me. In late March 1962, Bud took a train to Chicago, and we saw each other face to face. We dated every night for 5 nights, and then he proposed by pulling a note out of his pocket.
A treasure hunt? I have to find my engagement ring?
It's hidden somewhere in the house.
Oh, what fun. Mother, did you know about this?
Yes, I think it's a splendid idea.
You've had to work hard all your life to get what you wanted. Why should your engagement be any different?
The first clue, a place of wisdom. Oh, that's easy, the Bible. Oh, Bud, it's beautiful.
When would you like to have the wedding?
June?
Would the 23rd be okay? That's my parents' wedding anniversary.
That's wonderful.
Let's call and tell them.
Our marriage was a perfect match. I moved to Spokane and learned the printing business, all of it. I ran the presses and did much of the bookkeeping, but two can't live as cheaply as one, so Bud took a job at the paper mill, and I ran the print shop alone. Then I got pregnant, but miscarried, so Bud sold the printing business. After that, I worked part-time.
What did the doctor say, Mary Jane?
He confirmed it, Bud. I'm pregnant again.
I hope we don't lose this one.
I'm trying to be careful.
I'm glad we sold the print shop. Maybe that was too much for you.
Oh, the doctor said that I should be able to bear a child.
We have to put our trust in the Lord. He knows what's best.
Do you ever ask him to heal you?
I did in the past.
Sometimes I still ask him to heal me, but he has other plans.
You wouldn't have met me if God had healed you.
My second pregnancy, like the first, ended in miscarriage. How my heart ached. Then a few months later, my doctor called.
Mary Jane, I'm in the nursery of the hospital here. I have a baby boy, 5 days old, who I think belongs in your home. Are you interested?
You mean we can adopt him?
Yes. His mother is very young and unmarried.
Of course I'm interested. Let me ask Bud.
Okay, if he's interested, you need to get a lawyer right away to start the paperwork.
Thank you, doctor. Thank you. Bud, there's a baby boy that we can adopt at the hospital.
If there is any chance that he will not be allowed to stay, I don't want to. Bring him in the front door.
He says yes, doctor.
3 days later, after moving the paperwork past a lawyer, a social worker, and a judge, we picked up our son, Tom, at the hospital. 6 months later, the adoption was final. so the mail-order bride became an instant mother and a sweeter child I have never known. When he was 3, I developed the worst case of the flu I've ever had, so I finally went to the doctor.
You say you've been throwing up a lot.
Every day, doctor.
How long has this been going on?
Several weeks.
You should have come to me sooner.
Is it bad?
You're pregnant, Mary Jane.
I am? Oh, that's wonderful.
Now, I want you to take it easy from now on. Let's see if we can bring this one to full term.
God gave us a beautiful daughter, and our family was complete. Our children were growing, and Bud and I were extremely happy. 2 years after our daughter's birth, I went to my gynecologist for a regular checkup and learned some alarming news. I told Bud when he came home from work.
Mary Jane, you've been so quiet. Is something wrong?
Yes. I went to see my gynecologist today.
Are you pregnant again? That's...
No, Bud. My doctor found a lump on my breast. He thinks it's cancer.
Oh, my... What did he suggest?
I have an appointment to see the surgeon.
We'll get through this together, honey. The Lord will help us.
I did have cancer, and a few days after my visit with the surgeon, I had surgery. I awoke to learn that I had gotten a mastectomy. But I knew that my appearance wouldn't affect our marriage. Bud loved me long before he saw me. My surgeon didn't recommend any further treatment, so I returned to our normal lifestyle. 6 years later, Bud and I began seeking a way of serving missions somewhere. We applied to Puerto Rico as support people for a mission project, but we were turned down. Then Bud injured his foot and was laid off from his job.
The doctor thinks I should go on disability?
Maybe he's right. At least until you're able to work again.
I hate to do that. I think a person should work as long as they can.
I agree, but right now you can't. And we have children to think about.
All right, I'll do it, but I'm gonna keep looking for work. I know God has something for me.
Some months later, Bud went to Colorado Springs for a job interview with a print shop and also applied for a position with another ministry while there, and they accepted him. We enrolled the children in school for a month while we lived in a cabin the ministry provided, and I helped Bud in the print shop. We moved to Colorado in February 1977 and raised our support in less than a year. At last, we were working in ministry, and Bud went off disability. I became active in the Cerebral Palsy Association, giving talks in schools about our physical malady. Then in 1979, we faced another trial.
We'll hear about that trial in just a moment. Don't ever feel that you have to face a crisis alone. We are connected to one another and to God through prayer. And we count it a privilege when you ask us to pray for whatever concerns you. We have a prayer band made up of Unshackled listeners who have volunteered to spend time praying for the needs of others. And when you write to us with your concerns, we send your petition to one of these warriors who joins us in prayer. You can reach us by letter, or you can send us your prayer request by email. You can even go to our website at unshackled.org and click on prayer request. Today it's easier than ever for people around the world to pray for one another's needs. To request prayer or to join our prayer band, just write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please include your address.
So, how are you feeling, Mary Jane?
I feel great, Doctor. I'm ready for whatever this day holds.
Now, what did the other surgeon say to you after your cancer operation?
He told me to go home and enjoy my children.
Do you know why he chose not to offer you treatments after your surgery?
No.
Well, the records indicate that they thought you'd die very shortly after the surgery, so
there was no need.
Well, it's too late now. I think I'm still alive.
Well, I thought, here we go again. The biopsy concluded the cancer was operable, so I had my second mastectomy. Having cerebral palsy didn't mean that I'd be immune to other diseases, but it prepared me for many challenges. The surgery and the follow-up treatments were successful. We enjoyed our children and tried not to feel that they were extra special because they were ours, but one day our daughter told me about one of her classes.
Mom, the teacher read us a story today about a boy who had cerebral palsy.
Oh?
Only he called it cerebral palsy. I raised my hand and corrected him.
Good for you.
He said, well, if you know so much about it, why don't you tell the class? So I did.
What did you tell them?
That it's not inherited or contagious. It's an accident of birth and can happen to anyone. It doesn't mean you're mentally handicapped. It just means your muscles don't move like other people's. I told the class both of my parents have cerebral palsy, and I'm very proud of them.
Well, I'm very proud of you, Susan.
Both our children had graduated when Bud retired in July 1989. His goal was to work for the Lord longer than he had worked at any other job, and he did, by 6 months. Doctors discovered that he had liver cancer shortly after he retired. 3 months later, he had surgery. His recovery was very slow and tedious. After a month in the hospital, he came home.
It was very difficult having to learn to walk again.
Well, they took half of your stomach. Maybe you can eat more now and never concern yourself about getting fat.
Yeah. Now I can eat all the meat and potatoes I want without worry. I should interview for commercials.
Bud decided not to take radiation or chemotherapy treatments, so we continued to do the things that had always occupied our time. We enjoyed the work of the ministry and visits with relatives and friends until we noticed that Bud had turned a cute color of yellow. We returned to the hospital.
How hard do you want me to fight this, Mary Jane?
Oh, fight as hard as you can, Bud. But remember where you're going.
I'm in the Lord's hands no matter what happens.
I know.
I've had a good life, and I'm ready to go home.
Do you want to be buried in our plot in Spokane?
No, you plant me right here.
I'll miss you so much, Bud.
You'll always have the Lord and the children.
My husband died in January 1990. And his memorial service was a celebration of his life in Christ. I was almost 60 years old at the time. Both our children had their own careers by then, so I lived alone. I was still active with the Cerebral Palsy Association, giving public awareness talks in schools. At one of our meetings, before Bud's death, I got better acquainted with a young man whose twin girls had cerebral palsy. We often had coffee afterward.
I can't believe how much prejudice there is about CP.
Some people think I'm mentally handicapped just because my head shakes and I talk funny.
Yeah, well, how do you react to their prejudice, Mary Jane?
Sometimes I get angry, but that's the wrong attitude.
Uh-huh. How did your family cope?
Their faith made all the difference.
You mean their faith in you?
No, in Jesus Christ.
Oh, well, I agree. Wholeheartedly.
It's very frustrating when I talk in the schools that I can't share the gospel message. Jesus is the only answer, the real answer.
Well, maybe you can't say that in school, but you could speak at churches and say that.
Believers already know Jesus is the answer.
Well, yeah, but they don't know the difficulties of cerebral palsy. They don't realize how the church needs to reach out to the disabled.
Well, that's just the way it is, John. Get over it.
Well, but it doesn't have to be that way. We can make a difference.
How?
Listen, will you be willing to give a talk at my church?
At first I was doubtful, but I spoke at his church and another church about the methods that Christians could use to reach out to people like me, and God began to work mightily. John and I continued to meet for coffee after the meetings.
So, I thought your talk at church was very persuasive, and people have told me so.
God's been working on me, too.
Yeah, in what way?
Reminding me how it hurt when people speak in hushed tones about me and refuse to let me do things because they think I'm incapable.
You know, you can teach the church how to demonstrate God's love.
Yes, you're right.
Let's start a ministry, Mary Jane. We can help them understand and reach out to those with restrictive abilities among them.
The way King David did for Mephibosheth.
Wow. Well, that might be a good name for our ministry.
I think you're right, John.
So, can you write a study explaining the problems and ways to help?
Yes. I always wanted to be a missionary. I just didn't know that it would be to the disabled.
Well, when that's finished, can you write one for mentally handicapped? I mean, they should be included in our ministry. God's no respecter of persons. Salvation's for everyone.
Growing up, I always ran from those who were mentally handicapped.
Really? Why?
I didn't want people to think I was like them. But now I'm writing for them. Can't read this.
After all, they have the same right to hear about Christ, accept him, grow in Christ, and be allowed to serve. Well, this is good writing, Mary Jane.
Jesus has brought me a long way, John.
Yeah, we'll use this study a lot in our ministry.
Doesn't God have a great sense of humor?
Yes, and he's always preparing us for greater service.
Say, did you know I'm taking in a boarder?
You are. Who?
A young man who has CP and who wants to move out of his parents' home.
How old is he?
30. He's a college graduate, but he's never lived on his own. So I'll teach him the basics before he gets an apartment.
You're practicing what you teach.
I'm helping him make the transition to independence.
Life is full of transitions, isn't it?
And the Lord is there for every one of them. Hello.
Hi, Mom. How's everything?
Oh, fine. My house guest and I got through the first week.
What did you teach him so far?
How to do the laundry, how to clean the bathroom, how to cook breakfast.
Oh, pretty basic.
He was humiliated in school. Kids put chewing gum on his crutches and locked the bathroom doors so he couldn't get in.
Oh, that's cruel.
That's human nature without Christ.
You're pretty brave to help him, Mother.
He doesn't know the Lord. That's the main way to help him. My house guest stayed with me 4 months, during which time he learned how to live on his own. We had some challenging conversations about everything from cooking to personal hygiene, but the heart of my outreach to him was to share my faith and the love of Jesus Christ for him.
I got my first paycheck, Mary Jane. I'm ready to get my own place.
We still need to work on budgeting and using a checking account.
I'll figure it out.
Steve, the Bible has wisdom about work and money. Read it every day, and you won't go wrong.
I can't afford the time.
You can't afford not to. Life begins with knowing Jesus.
He never healed you.
His grace is sufficient.
It's not enough for me.
He died for your sins. Isn't that enough? The Bible says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved."
I guess I need a miracle. Then I might believe.
The miracle is new life. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Then why do you still have GP?
Jesus speaks to this in John 9, when he and his disciples come upon a blind man. It says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I am here to do the work of God despite my CP. However, I will have a perfect body when I get to heaven, Steve. Will you be there with me?
Sure. Why not?
Because you've not received God's precious gift of salvation through his Son. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
In 1992, my ministry partner and I were invited to a conference in Fort Riley, Kansas. There I met others in ministry to the disabled and shared my passion for teaching and reaching out to them. A few months later, at another conference in Spokane, I talked with a man who I had met in Kansas.
I enjoyed the workshop you led, Mary Jane.
Thank you.
So the young man who lived with you is now doing well on his own?
Yes, but he hasn't received Christ yet.
God's word doesn't return to him void.
Oh, yes, I know.
Mary Jane, we'd like you to pray about going with our first team headed for Nigeria this fall.
Me?
Yes. At the meeting in Kansas, I heard you express your passion for this ministry, and I was uncertain. But now, after listening to you, I can see how persuasive and effective you are.
What would I do there?
You'd be going as a teacher trainer.
This outreach to Nigeria turned into an outreach to Ghana, West Africa, where I taught several sessions. In the following years, I went to Poland, Romania, the Ukraine, Cuba, and Peru. All this at an age when most people retire. But God had an even bigger surprise in store for me. I had just returned from my sixth trip to Ghana when the phone rang.
Mary Jane, it's John. Are you tired of traveling?
Oh, no!
How would you like to go to China next month?
Well, let me think about that. Yes, yes, yes!
Well, this will be our first outreach there. And the airline that's flying the wheelchairs over is offering 2 free round-trip tickets, and 1 is for you.
And all those times I prayed for God to heal me, if he had, I wouldn't be going there now.
I went to China in the year 2000. We made many friends there and laid the foundation for future trips. Although I'm 72, I plan to return as often as the Lord allows. God is faithful. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 4, Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I can testify that God wants to fulfill your dreams as much as you do. Trust him with all your heart.
Listening friend, if the world has brought you disappointment and fear of the future, we have good news. Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted and give you life everlasting. As Mary Jane said, new life begins with knowing Christ personally. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you want to know more about this life-changing decision, let us know and we'll send some literature to help you. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please visit our website at unshackled.org. This is program number 2710. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Brighten our day with a letter. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares, 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-922-1462.